Let us turn in our Bibles to the book of James. We're reading from chapter 1, verse 20 to verse 21. We'll be preaching from verse 21. James 1, 20 to 21. You see what it says. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Let me read it again. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. This is about the third time we are going through our series, which is called Characteristic of Genuine Faith. Characteristic of Genuine Faith. And we went through many tests James has given us by which we can measure or test if our faith is a genuine faith or if it's just lacking reality, if it's just our own imaginations. So James gave us some tests as we can test our own faith. The first test he gave us was how we respond to trials. The way we respond to trials is an indicator to know if our faith is true or if it is not, if it is a saving faith or if it's just an imagination. The second faith is a test, as we know, was how we respond to temptations. Where temptations come, when we are tempted by our own lusts, our own bodies, our own minds, by our own natures, how do we react to it? The way we respond to it is an indicator as well of our faith. If we fall for them, we live that life of temptation and we fall into sin, when we remain there, it shows that we are not truly saved. We are just people. We are pretending to be saved people. And the third test, that's what we saw last time, was how we respond to the word of faith of God. How we respond to the word of God. The way we listen to the word of God, how we react, how we desire the word of God, and how we obey the word of God reveals the nature of our faith. As I said last week, that show me somebody who loves the word of God, who reads the word of God, who is interested in things of God, I will show you a Christian. But on the other side, show me somebody who is not interested in things of God, somebody who doesn't care, somebody who doesn't listen to the word of God, somebody who runs away for things of God, I will show you an unbeliever, no matter what they may be saying. I said last week that you cannot separate a true believer from the word of God. That is true, because by the word of God, we were called forth. By the word of God, we were being transformed. God used the word of God to reveal our nature, that we were in need of a savior. And that same word of God is the one which keeps us going. And we are being transformed, being changed because of the word of God. When we listen to it, it changes us, it transforms us, it challenges us, it comforts us. We need the word of God. So James gave us also some directive by which we can measure our response to the word of God. He told us genuine saving faith is characterized by a proper reception of the word of God. Proper reception of the word of God. Receiving. How you receive the word of God when it is read to you. When you read it. When you sit under preaching, the word of God is being expanded or preached. How you receive it is an indicator. You know that unbelievers, when they listen to the word of God, they are irritated. They are angry. They don't want to do it. They don't want even to receive it. They reject the word of God. But true believers must receive the word of God when it is presented to them. It's like milk for us. We want to hear the word of God. We are dependent of it. And James told us how we are to receive that word of God. The first point we made was we are to receive the word of God with submission. With submission. Not only to receive it, because somebody can pretend that they receive the word of God, but they don't submit to it. It comes into their ears and then just goes and that's it. They do their own things. But James told us that we are to submit ourselves to the word of God when it is being preached. He said we are to be quick to listen to it. We are to be looking for every opportunity the word of God is presented to us. We are to be people who are meeting with other believers to listen to the word of God. We are to be reading it in our own daily devotion. We are to love, we are to have a special relationship to the word of God. After being quick to listening to it, he told us we are to be quick and we are to be slow to speak it. We are to be reserved when presenting the truth of God. We are not to open our mouth and talk until we are prepared. There's nothing worse than somebody who stands up unprepared and trying to present the word of God. What happens is they misrepresent it or they bring about their own ideas. So don't be quick to speak the word of God until you have prepared yourself, until you have studied, you are being taught. This doesn't mean that we will never talk about it, an excuse. No, we are to be prepared to talk about it and to present it as it is. The first thing he told us how to listen to it, he said that we are to be slow to anger, slow to wrath. Why? Because the people of this world, you know, when they listen to the word of God, they only found for mistakes. They show the kind of wrath towards the word of God. They hate it. When they are challenged by the word of God, they hate it. When the word of God says as it is, who God is, they hate it. They have their own ideas. They have their own philosophies. They don't want to respect the word of God. And we are told the wrath of God in verse 20, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. When we are angry towards the word of God, we show the flesh. We show our wickedness. We don't reflect the character of God. We have to be quick to listen. We have to be slow to speak, and we have to be slow to anger or to wrath when we listen to the word of God. First point was, true believer, listen to the word of God with submission. Receive the word of God with submission. The second point, that's what we're going to look today. True believer has willingness to receive the word of God with purity. Purity and purity, as it says here in verse 21, first part. It says here in the book of James, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. When we look at verse 20, we see that anything else will stop us doing what pleases God. If we have the wrath, if we are on our own minds, whatever we do, we will reject the word of God. So James is telling his disciples, readers here, that they have to put off, lay aside, they have to undress themselves of all wickedness. They have to take off something of who they are so that they can be able to receive the word of God. put off. It means you cannot receive the implanted word of God until you have taken off something, until you have get rid of something in your own lives. So he wants them to be prepared. He wants to be them to know that we have to take off something of our own character, of who we are. Our carnality is to be taken off, put off, lay aside, undress yourself of something. This is what he is telling them of. He tells them what it is. Because there is no true faith, there is no true belief, unless a person has get rid of some stuff, or unless there is a change of heart. You and I can't receive the word of God if we think we are full, if we are full of our own ideas, if we are satisfied with who we are, if we think we are complete. There is no way we can receive the word of God. As it was for people of Israel, that they had to be circumcised. As the Bible tells us, there has to be this circumcision of heart. Something has to be taken off. James is telling his people, they have to take off. They have to undress themselves off. They have to take off all filthiness. There must be a desire for holiness and purity in the life of anyone who is a believer. We know this is not true for unbelievers. We know that unbelievers are so self-righteous. They are so full of themselves. They tell themselves that duduke samdue. You are as good as you are. We know there are movements in the church. Come as you are. And then, what is it? Stay as you are. Come as you are, stay as you are. While the Bible tells us that come as you are and be transformed, repent, turn to God, be transformed. But the world tells us different things. For us to receive the word of God, we must take off some stuff. And James tells us what it is: filthiness. Filthiness. We are not to listen to what the trend of churches today tell us. Don't change. You are good as you are. God is created as you are. That's how you should be. But we know that the man, you and I, without God, we are fallen people. We can't please God. And if we claim to be children of God, there must be a change in our lives. Christianity of today, in most of part of it, is a lie, because it is a Christianity without repentance, without holiness, without purity. James is telling his people here, take off, put off, lay aside, undress yourself of these things which are called filthiness. And James is not alone. Apostle Paul wrote also to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4:21 to 24. Ephesians 4:21 to 24. He says this: if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We see here the same drama is being beat by Apostle Paul. He's telling his people, his readers, Christians, you and I, that in our journey as Christians, we have to take off. We have to take off of some conducts. You come to Christ as you are. You repent to God. You make a decision that I am turning away. And then you start in the work of sanctification. You taking off the old man. You taking off your bad habits, your bad character, your bad personalities, your things which make you, which are not honoring God. You starting taking them off one after one. And the end of it is God's righteousness in holiness. Put off. Put off concerning your former conduct. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So there is no Christianity without a change. You and I have to change. And you and I, as we are growing, I hope that we are changing. Who we were yesterday is not who we're going to be tomorrow. And we are not changing for worse. We are changing for good. Taking off filthiness and putting on the new man. We are to be dressed up with a character which shows a Christian. Somebody who's transformed. Somebody who has met God. As we know, no one meets Jesus Christ and remains the same. They are challenged. They are transformed. Apostle Paul, writing to Colossians, he wrote the same thing in Colossians 3, 8 to 10. Let us turn to it. Colossians 3, 8 to 10. He tells them the same thing. They are to put off. Colossians 3, 8 to 10, he says, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." We see we are challenged, we are called, we are commanded by scriptures that we are to put off. There must be a change. There must be a demonstration of the life which is inside in our own life to show that we are new creatures. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creature. We know that. And this is what James is putting in the minds of these people. You cannot receive the word of God. You cannot act in the word of God unless you take off of former conduct. You take off the old man. He uses the word filthiness. Filthiness. What does it mean? Foulness. It means dirtiness, filth, nastiness, corruption, pollution, defilement by sin, impurity. It tells us to take off all these things, all pollution, all dirtiness, all defilement by sin, all impurity, all moral vice. We are to take off. Of course, this doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. But we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. That's why He came to make us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Show me somebody who is transforming, who is changing, who is willing to learn. I will show you a Christian. But show me somebody who doesn't want to change, who is self-righteous, righteous, whose mission is to make the Bible to change according to his or her philosophies. I will show you an unbeliever. We are to take off all foulness, all dirtiness, all filth, all nastiness, all corruption, all pollution, all defilement by sin, all impurity, all moral vice in our own lives. We have to show the character of a new person. If you were a thief, you change. If you're a gossiper, you change. If you're a slanderer, you change. If you're a sexually immoral person, you change. If you're a liar, if you were whatever character which shows that it's not the character of God, as Apostle Paul gives us a list here in Colossians 3, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, swearing, bad words. We have to take all these things off. We empty ourselves with filth. We fill ourselves with the word of God. I remember once, it could be 4 years ago, my ears were itchy and they were kind of dirty. I took earbuds. I tried to clean them. And then the cotton left or remained in my ear. I tried the second one. Same thing happened. It left. I think it was cheap ones. And then I went to work. And then in the evening, I went to swim. As I went to swim, I forgot water went in my ear. And then my ear was so heavy because of the cottons, the dirt, and the water. It was so heavy. So that same evening, we had a gathering with some doctors, Johanna's colleagues. I was there, I was trying to focus, I was trying to listen. No, my ear was so heavy because of the water and everything, it was really not feeling well. The doctors noticed that something was wrong with me. I told them what had happened, and they found that I was a hobby. They took me to emergency room in Jakobstad. About four of them took me there. We went in a room. They were there trying to take off all the earbuds from my ear. One after one, they tried and they were trying. And actually, my wife was the one who managed to do it. She took them off. I started hearing. My ear was fine. As we went back to this gathering, another doctor told us a story of a lady who came to him. She was so in pain and she was not hearing on one ear. She was not hearing. And she thought something was wrong. She has lost her hearing or something was really bad. And he said that he tried to look on the lady's ear. He couldn't see anything. It was just dark. Nothing was there. And he thought of trying to use this, pincet, whatever it's called, to take off, to see if what was happening. He went in, he came out with a piece of cotton. He tried again, he took another one. He tried again, another one. About six cottons in the lady's ear. And once he took the last one, the lady said, "Oh, now I can hear." She was that a new person. So the dirt, the filth had blocked her hearing. That can be the way many of us or many of people who claim to be Christians be. They may be that their life is full of filthiness. Their life is full of dirtiness, of pollution. The life is full of things of this world that they are not even functioning well. They are not able to receive the word of God because of the filth. There must be emptiness. They must be emptied before the word of God can come and do the work, before we can be transformed. It's not only about us. The Bible is clear about who God is. This God who we claim is our Father. Because when we are Christians, we have a relationship with this God. And our final destination is spending time with this God. The Bible tells us who this God is. In 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16, the Bible tells us who God is. If we claim we are Christians, if we claim we are children of God, our destination is heaven. But this is what he says about this God, he whom we spend time with. But as he who calls you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. If we claim to be a Christian, if we claim we are transformed and changed by this God, the Bible tells us we are to be holy because he is holy. We can't be holy if our lives are full of filthiness, dirtiness, defilement of sin. If we live in impurity, we must take off of the old man. We must undress ourselves of sin for us to be able to see God. As the Bible says, without holiness, no one will see God. Purity is the way to holiness. We are called to live a pure life. We are called to be holy as God is holy. That is the challenge. This is the journey we are going. We are being transformed in Christ-likeness. If you are true believer, you are being transformed. Time after time, you see in your own character, you see in your own behavior, you see even in your own personality, you see that there is this change. I remember before I became a Christian, I was wild, I did bad things, my mouth was bad, and I was swearing, I was doing bad things. I didn't have any character of God in me at all. People who knew me when I was a kid and who saw me that time, they wouldn't want to spend time with me. I had to change friends because people who were as immoral as I was. But when I became a Christian, there was this command of changing. God came, and the first thing he did was to reveal who I was. And he had to take off that identity, that old person. And I remember my first years as a Christian, I was fighting with identity, looking for new identity. Because nothing of who I was before I became a Christian, I would have taken it as a Christian. Nothing. I had like crisis of identity, I would say. I was praying to God to give me a new identity, who I was. And by his grace, they were transformations. My language was becoming cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. It's like the Holy Spirit came with a omo, or was it Greek, some good washing soap to wash my mouth. It's happened that things started happening. God was changing and transforming. If I would have stayed saying that I am a Christian, by living the way I was living, with a foul mouth, with no respect, with no conscience, even if I would have sung that I am a Christian, my life would have shown that I am not a Christian, I'm just a deceived person. But as believers, we are commanded, as the word of God says, that there must be a change. There must be a transformation in our lives. We are to take off. God is holy. And if we are willing to receive the word of God, we must to take off of our old. This happened even in the Old Testament. Every time God was commanding the people of Israel to consecrate themselves, they had to be holy. They had to be holy. Christian life is about being holy, being on that fight with the sin, trying to take off the old and put the new, time after time. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Apostle Paul is talking again. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, this again is being said about Christian life. We are to take off. Taking off. This is the difference between religion of God. This is the difference between Christianity and what the world is offering. The Bible tells us we are to change. We are to be renewed. The world tells us that we must remain as we are. Which religion will give you eternal life? Which religion, if you follow it, you will be able to see God? It's religion of God. It is Christianity. It is the Bible, because it tells us that there is nothing good in you. You have to take off of what you are, or of who you are. There must be a transformation. You must be able to take off filthiness, dirtiness, nastiness, pollution in your own lives. Because the pure heart desires more of God. And the closer you are, closer to God, the more you want to resist evil. And you want to have righteousness of God, which God has promised to us. And this is not done by only taking off one thing. We know many people say that, I was a drunkard, I stopped drinking. That's it. I am a changed person. Or, I was an abuser, I stopped abusing. That's it. It's not about only one particular sin. It's about the entire life. Every time the word of God reveals the sin, the filthiness in our own lives, we have to do the work. We will not be complete by only taking one sin in our lives. We are to work on one sin at a time. God reveals to us through his word, and we work on it. We modify it. We kill it, or we mortify it. And this is not done by our own powers and strength. It's done with the help of the Holy Spirit, who comes to dwell in us when we became children of God. That's why believers must love the word of God. That's why believers must be showing this desire for holiness. Because we mortify ourselves, one aspect of our lives after another, and we are becoming more like Christ. And he talks about that word here, overflow of wickedness. Verse 21 again. Overflow of wickedness. This is a synonym for evil or sinfulness. It has the most specific meaning of evil committed consciously and of free will. Wickedness. Overflow of it. It can be considered the quality or state of being wicked, or the intent of doing evil deeds. Evil intent, or general evil. So you and I, we are called to put off, to undress ourselves of all filthiness, all wickedness, overflow of wickedness. We are commanded. It's not like if you want, we are to do it. Put off. If you want to receive the word of God, if you want to be transformed, put off some stuff. Put off the luggages you have. Don't listen to the religion of this world, which tells you, come as you are. You are good as you are. No, the religion of God is like, come as you are and be transformed. Be changed. Be holy as he is holy. Without holiness, no one will see God. And then, after listening to the word of God, or receiving the word of God with submission, after listening to the word of God, or receiving the word of God with purity, he gives us a third thing here. We are to receive the word of God with humility. Humility. We are to be humble. As he says in second part of verse 21, he says here that, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness. This means receive with humility. Receive the word of God with a submissive heart, with a pure heart, with a humble heart, means you are teachable. You are teachable. You are the person who comes to the church of God, who sits on a pew, sits there saying that, I want to be taught today. I don't know it all. I am not full of knowledge. I want to be taught. We are to be teachable. We are to listen. We are to submit to the word of God. We are to listen with a pure heart. We are to take off our egos. Not somebody who comes to church knowing that I know it all. There's nothing they can tell me. I know it all. And they are there to look for mistakes, to look for things which are incorrect. They are there that they are full of themselves. No, James is telling us here, we are to be meek. We are to be teachable. We have to be humble when we listen to the word of God, when we read it. Our opinion should not be stronger than the word of God. Our understanding should not be stronger than the word of God. We have to be humble before the word of God. We have to be able to receive the word of God and to act upon it. Imagine somebody who comes to church with attitude that there is no commands in the word of God. What is the hand of such a person? There's no command. The Bible is just a love letter to God's people. What is the end of that? What is the attitude of such a person? He says that the Bible doesn't have any authority. He says that I can do what I want to do. I can choose what I want to do. There's no master in the Bible. I was told there's no master in the Bible. There's no master. You do as you please. Imagine somebody like that claiming that they are Christians. How will the Christian walk be like? There won't be challenges. There won't be obedience. There won't be humility. They won't be putting off of something because there's no command in the Bible. But true Christians, you and I who claim to be Christians, we are to show that our lives is impacted, our life is transformed, that we come to the church of God, we sit, or when we read the word of God, we come with this attitude that I am humble. I want to be taught today. God, teach me through the mouth of your preacher. Let him open the word of God. Let him present the word of God, which is able to change me, which is able to transform me, which is able to bring about salvation into my own eyes. And God will do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. He will open the eyes of your heart. You will listen to the word of God. If you are saved, you are saved by listening to the word of God. And that doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit does the work of sanctification through the word of God. And it's through that word of God we are able to win the penalty of sin. We are able to be transformed, to be like Christ through the word of God. And if you are not humble, if you are not teachable, How will the word of God impact your life? If you are sitting there, your mission is to change the Bible. If you are sitting there, your mission is to change all the places in the Bible where it talks about God being a He. You want Him to be a gender neutral. If you are sitting there, your mission is to take off every place where it says about sin. Take them off in the Bible. How will the word of God transform your life? If you are there looking for stuff you have to change in the Bible, as there is an agenda outside there. We know there are people outside whose mission is to change the Bible. They are writing the Bibles with an agenda in it, changing everything which they don't like in the Bible. And those are the people who claim to be Christians, and suddenly we see even people who are Christians trying to defend these people, try to think they have understanding for these people. There is a priest in this area who I've heard many people saying that he was good before. He was good before. But now he's become too liberal. He's too bad. He's defending all these things. Is that the change a Christian should be showing in their lives? Is that the change the Bible is talking about? Is that the transformation the Bible talks about? No, we are not changing from good to worse. We are changing from bad, from worse to good. Because God is good, because Christ is good. And we are being transformed that way. And the word of God, when it's presented to us, we are to be humble to listen to it. We are to be meek to listen to it. In conclusion, we have seen all this session where the word of God is calling us to receive the word of God with a submissive heart, with a pure and humble heart. And when we do that, we mark ourselves as those who have been transformed, those who are true believers. Unbelievers want the word of God to change, as we know. They want you to choose your words. They want you to play to their own tunes. They want the philosophies to fit the word of God. Well, in many cases, they don't even want the word of God in any way, because there are places where it will awaken their conscience. They don't want that. But if we claim to be those who have been transformed, who are true believers, submission to the word of God, purity towards the word of God, we have to take off of the old man. We have to take off of all that which is not honoring God. That means we have to know what is sin and what is not sin. It must be clear in our minds. And that's not from our minds only. It's because we have the word of God. We have to go on and read today, as Apostle Paul named some here. Anger, wrath, lying, and all this other stuff. And then if it comes to sins which are close to you, you have to receive them, you have to read the word of God, and you have to put them off as well. Sin might be sweet for a while, but the consequences of it is really bad. Really bad. How do you respond to trials? How do you respond to temptations? And how do you relate to the word of God? Are you submissive? Are you putting off stuff? Are you being transformed? Are you humble? Are you teachable? Can I ask you a question? If you have learned anything from the word of God, Can you leave this place say that I have learned things from the Word of God? Oh, actually, those things they say, they are old stuff, old style stuff. There's nothing. We are in 2019. They're talking about the old book which was written by old men. That's why they didn't understand our society. If you have that attitude, that is not an attitude of somebody who is a child of God. We are to receive the Word of God willingly, submissively, humbly, into pure heart. We are to be like the Bible tells us of Cornelius in Acts 10:33. The Bible tells us, "Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all things commanded you by God." That's Cornelius in 10:33, when Peter was coming to present the Word of God to him. He was there in a receiving mode. He was there in submissive mode. He was there in willingful word, wanting to listen to the Word of God. He wanted to listen to the Word of God. We shall be like Acts 17. The Bible tells us of this noble Bereans. It says that in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. We are not to be fools. We are not to be our lives showing a different thing to what we claim to be. Let me encourage you today, you and I who claim to be Christians, that we are to be submissive to the Word of God. We are to be humble. We are to receive the Word of God with purity. We are to be ready to know that there are many things in our lives we need to take off. We have to mortify the flesh, and then we'll be able to see God. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. We are grateful that you have given us your word. The word reveals the character of God, and it reveals also who man is. It commands us to take off, put off, lay aside, Lord, filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and to put, Lord, on, Lord, the ears which are humble, the attitude which is able to receive the word of God, and we are to be prepared to, Lord, to put off our old characters. Help us, Lord, with the help of the Holy Spirit which indwells in us. We may be transformed, we may be changed, so that the implanted word of God may have place, may have, Lord, the impact in our lives to bring about salvation in our lives. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.